CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Harry Siegel, the New York Daily News, a columnist, the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. We turn to New York City. Right now, recovering from the pandemic and waiting for the workforce to return and people to understand Manhattan especially, and what is to be done with the new mayor come the new year. Harry, a very good evening to you. Recently, I traveled, had occasion to travel to Washington, D.C. The city is depopulated. The storefronts are various, but there is no foot traffic, at least from what I saw walking from down K Street from 17th to 9th to the Apple Store. The homeless are well positioned on greens that are everywhere, especially across from the old Carnegie Library, with big elaborate tents, look quite solid. And I had occasion to talk with one, a 68-year-old man, 31 years in prison. He was quite cogent and straightforward, no social worker that he could speak of. But in any event, he said the city leaves him alone. A very sharp contrast to what I witnessed passing through Pennsylvania Station into the new Moynihan Station. It would appear that Washington, for whatever reason, has a better understanding of homelessness, or has homeless that are more presentable, who are more presentable than the homeless of New York. Is there an explanation for that, especially around the Pennsylvania Station area, that the new mayor can deal with right away?
I don't know enough about the Washington, D.C. part to speak to that, although that's very interesting. I will say in New York City, we have a right to shelter goes along with a very large, somewhat seasonal street homeless population. Around Penn Station, there are a number of methadone clinics. There are still some SROs. There's some forces that track some of those people there and historically have. It's a really interesting open question. What happens with the homeless population next year under a new mayor? And what happens with seriously mentally ill people who overlap significantly with the street homeless population? Which, of course, is very different from other people who are unhoused and like trying to find permanent shelter and are living in shelters and are not just out on the streets. The people out on the streets tend to have a whole number of problems in New York. Often you're talking about people who have dependency issues and mental illness, who are resistant to help, and who are not whatsoever a new phenomenon, but with the city hollowed out, Midtown really hollowed out, have been a very dramatic and at points dangerous, ominous, and violent presence in the midst of the pandemic. I will say, John, that I was in the Village on Saturday night to meet someone, and I was stunned by how much street life there was. And it was a little chaotic. I was in Washington Square Park where there are big signs, digital sign now saying no skateboarding. And, you know, dozen people skateboarding right past the sign. There's a whole bazaar of people selling things and a ring around the fountain in the center of the park. You know, the sort of junk for the most part people sell in parks. But for all that, it was really lively. It was really college student dominated, mostly NYU and the new school, I assume. And way too many people inside places without masks, way too close to each other. But it was nice to see that much life out. I have not in quite a long time. Now, the college students are not going to replace the business district, mind you. I didn't really see tourists there. But it was good to see restaurants booming, you know, stuffed inside, all the outside tables filled up, and like some sign that maybe some life was returning to the city on what was an unseasonably beautiful weekend night.
Here's the puzzle for Manhattan. Passing through Grand Central, it is clean, it is safe, it is well-patrolled. Metro North Police, State Police, I have every reason to believe that the environment is secure. It's a vast indoor space with many corners and turns, and all of the retail is not returned. Some of it's back. Apple Store has always been there, and that's a good thing. However, the security that you feel at Grand Central goes away entirely when you get to Penn Station. Now, there is the new Moynihan Station, which is open. which is the scale of an airport, a very big airport, say a transit area. It's an enormous space. And the trains are below and everything's well announced. I saw no security problem in Moynihan. But crossing the street, across 8th Avenue, immediately you're surrounded by a sense of disorder. And the people there, especially people smoking cigarettes openly, whatever they are, give you a sense that it is not being patrolled, that you're not backed up by the police or the authorities the way you are at Grand Central. Is this an impossibility for the new mayor? Has the present mayor and administration decided to abandon 7th to 8th on 33rd, 32nd? Do we know what they've decided about that area?
Grand Central has always been a nicer physical space, a better upkept space, and one that's policed more for a basic sense of orderliness. So less aggressive panhandling, less junkies, less people just sort of ominously being there and maybe aggressively asking for money. Maybe, and I'm speculating here, some of that has to do with the fact that it's Grand Central Terminal, but Penn Station and terminals just do better. But more likely, I think, is the fact that the Penn Station, prior to the opening of Moynihan, is just an underground warren. It's a maze of entries. It's a bit of a dump. It replaced a beautiful old station. And it was just sort of a space that was accepted, but nobody was fully responsible for keeping up, and that was allowed to slide. So in a real broken window sense, I think Penn Station allowed for a lot of this. The new Penn Station, the old Penn Station before my time, was by all accounts glorious.
Right.
Whereas Grand Central, which has very nice restaurants inside, is really right in the center and heart of Manhattan, and has always been better maintained and more policed. A lot of the argument right now is whether we need to be rounding up the homeless, if they need to be getting policed more, whether they need to be getting more help, any of these parts. But what de Blasio has done, in effect, is to sort of shrug at this. The policing isn't the answer, and he hasn't offered anything else. So if you don't think policing is the answer and sending people to Rikers is the answer, which I do not, you have to have some other answer. Like the idea that you're going to have benign neglect so that there are scary people nodding off or being extremely active and hyper and aggressive all around you, right in the center of our business district, is fair to them or anyone else is just wrong. If you're not providing help, and you're not providing policing, you could argue that's more benign neglect. But the fact is, most New Yorkers, including people who have deep sympathy, who have family members who've been homeless, who know mentally ill people, whatever else, they want to feel safe. And if you have an environment where you cannot feel safe getting off the train in Midtown, in the center of Manhattan, the chances of a revival, which is going to be very difficult already because people have learned they can work at home over these last 18 months. Everyone doesn't have to go back to an office, is only that much harder.
Final question. Because we're looking at a change, are we also looking at a change at Rikers? We just have a minute here. There's been another death there. Is the new mayor part of the solution?
The new mayor has been talking with the people who made the plan to close Rikers, and they say he's serious, he's committed, he has promise. He has said that he wants to close Rikers. But until he says what he wants to do with the jails that would replace it, until we see his actual policing plan, all of this is very speculative. So the current mayor has failed. The new mayor, there's some hope of real and overdue change, but we'll believe it when we see it, not just when he says the easiest thing at all, which is I want to close this barbaric jail.
So we have – hope is not a plan. So we have days to wait, and to answer one more death at Rikers with another and another is not a solution. Harry Siegel. He's a columnist for the New York Daily News, which is where I learn about Rikers Island. I do not have a personal experience with Rikers for decades, since the late 20th century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.